My name is Haley Kim, and I'm the creator and host of Iconic Businesses of Dallas. Join me as I interview successful businessmen and women around DFW to hear their stories about how they got to where they are today. Get inspired and leave with great takeaways from their experiences that you can apply to your own daily life.
The first thing you need to do is tell someone else about it, because that puts the pressure on you. Mm-hmm. And if you tell someone you're about to do something, tell someone who's going to hold you accountable, obviously. But if you tell them, then you're going to do it. You're more likely to do it. The second thing I tell them is get a website. Because once you have your website, you're paying for that. Now you're invested. So you're more likely to move forward. And then you can flesh out your idea. Like, you put it on your website, you look at it. Does this look like something someone would buy? Why would they buy it? When you're building the website, you have to ask yourself questions like, what makes me unique?
This week's guest is Nico Feng Chung, the author of Anya's World Adventures, a children's travel book series that encourages young children to discover and learn about different cultures around the world. We talk about what made Nico decide to write children's books and all of the hard work that goes with it. Her passion and mission to teach children about diversity through her work is truly inspiring. Thank you, everyone, for joining me for another episode of Iconic Businesses of Dallas. Today, I have with me Nico Feng Chung. Hey!
Hey, Haley.
How are you?
Glad to be here. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is Nico, obviously. I'm originally from New York. Moved to Dallas about 5 or 6 years ago. Haley's my realtor. She's the best. She got us a nice house last year, so I guess we're staying. I write children's books. I have 3 children, and that's pretty much it. I'm not that exciting.
Yes, you are. I was like, so when I first met you, I met you through my brother, but he was like, oh, she writes children's books. I was like, oh my gosh, that is like the coolest thing I've ever heard. So I wanted to have you on my show and then have you talk about like how you got started with that.
Okay. So I got started in 2013. So my daughter, she's my middle child. She is 7. She was born in 2012. And my husband, he's Jamaican and Chinese. So it was always very important to me that the kids understood not just their Jamaican culture, but just everything that makes them who they are. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to explain. So yeah. I started making like a family tree, and then that turned into like a small story for my daughter just to get a better understanding of who she is and how her grandparents ended up in Jamaica and how then they ended up here and everything like that. And someone else read it and they're like, hey, you should make this into like something for everyone. And I'm like, really? You think so? Because I was just messing around for my baby. And they're like, no, definitely. It's really good. So I started doing some more research. And my first book I did was about Jamaica, obviously. But I tried to keep it to places that I either have been to or people who I know personally who grew up there or who are a part of that culture. Because I just want to keep everything really factual and still make it fun for kids. But the facts were important. I feel like when you go to the library and you get books on different countries, it tells you all this boring stuff like what they export and import. And kids don't care.
No.
So I make books that tell you what games the kids play and what food they eat and what their families are like, and let kids know that other people in other countries are just like you. Like, they have families like yours. They play games like you do. They have homes, you know, things like that. So just want to spread awareness and cultural exchanges and things like that.
That's so awesome. So on your search to start, like, how did you start? I want to know about, like, the details.
Well, I had to learn how to write children's books because there's, like, a real format for it if you want to be, like, professional with it. Because you can just write, but there's, like, a certain number of words that have to be in the book. I know a lot of people, they love to do rhyming books, but when you read like how to write children's books, it's like the first rule is like no rhyming. First, it takes away from the story because you spend more time focusing on rhyming than you do actually putting the story together. And then also, kids don't learn like how to speak normally if everything is rhyming. So it takes away from that. Yeah. Giving them the, you know, to learn how to do have conversations. So they want you to write it as if you're talking to the child versus like making a song for them. So I did that. I learned how to format a book. I had many, many drafts. Before it was called, Anya's World Adventures.
So and the is that book your daughter's series, name?
Yes, that's my daughter. Before it was Anya's World Adventures, it was like JoJo or something. And I was like, or JoJo on the go. I don't know. It was weird. And I was like, that doesn't feel like personal to me. So then I changed it to my daughter, And then after I had my story written, the next thing was illustrations.
Yeah.
Now, I draw, but not like professionally well, I don't think. And the style for children's books, I don't think I have that talent. So I found this wonderful woman named Fuji. She's in the Philippines. It was super random how I found her, but when I saw her work, I was like, that's what I want. Like, I just knew as soon as I saw it. And I had a few other illustrators apply, but hers was perfect. And she really did a good job of capturing different cultures without just changing the color of the person. Because, you know, you see some cartoons, it's like, everybody has the same face, but this person's this color.
A little bit darker.
Yeah, it's like, I want the nuance to be there so that you know that this is where you are and the different features that show up in different people's faces are there.
Uh-huh.
She was really good at that. And I sent her a picture of my daughter and I'm like, can you make this? And she did it so perfectly. And so now we are here. There's three books in the series. So it's Anya Goes to Jamaica, then Anya Goes to India, and then Anya Goes to Nigeria. And I'm having a hard time choosing whether Mexico, China, or somewhere in Europe should be next. And it's hard for me because we love Mexico. We go all the time.
Uh-huh.
But China, obviously, I never took it on because it's so big, mm-hmm. and I'm so afraid to get it wrong.
Yeah.
I speak to different people and they're like, well, I'm from this part and I'm from this part and it's completely different cultures.
Oh.
So how do you choose which culture to focus on or
right.
who do you talk to? So I just kind of, I'm afraid, but I want to do it. I just want to do it justice.
Right.
So I'm holding off. I get, you know, people come to me all the time like, oh, do this country, this country. There's so many to do. So the series can go on forever.
Right.
It's just, I take a lot of responsibility in getting it right and not, you know, what do you call it? Disrespecting anyone's culture at all. And I don't want to tell lies. And I want it to be as firsthand as possible. Like, talk to people. Like, what did you actually do as a kid? Not what I can Google, but mm-hmm. tell me about your childhood. And then I can use that.
That's what I love about your series is that exactly what you just said. It's more real. And I notice, like, a lot of books, like you say, that are already, like, published and whatnot. It's just so generic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask, I remember because I took Spanish in high school or whatever, and mm-hmm. you would learn all this stuff. And then you'd ask a real person that actually had lived there, and they'd be like, oh, no, that's not even how we talk. That's not what we eat.
Right.
And it's just so different mm-hmm. than what really goes on. So I appreciate that you really, you know, do your due diligence and look up all the information and talk to people that have really experienced it and put that mm-hmm. in your books.
Thank you. Yeah, I even have them read it first. And I'm like, read this and tell me if this sounds right to you. So my illustrator wants me to do the Philippines. I'm like, oh, all the like the weight on my shoulders to do your country and then send it to you and say, here, illustrate this. Like, she'd really have to sit and talk with me before I would feel comfortable doing that. Yeah.
And I think now with Zoom and all that, it would be easy to do, right?
It would be, except for the time. Like, she emails me at like 3 a.m. and that's like her morning. And I'm like, girl, I'm asleep. And then when I email her, it's nighttime there. So we have to try to get in sync a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes the Wi-Fi is a little sketch, depending on what's going on. I remember one time we were in the middle of a book and there was like a big, I don't know if it was a typhoon or something that was over there. And she was like, I'm still working, but you won't be able to reach me for 3 weeks. I'm like,
oh my
God,
you don't
have to work. I was like, please stop and do whatever you're supposed to be doing. But she's just wonderful. She's really young too, which I liked. And so with everyone with the books, I try to work with people, with women.
Uh-huh.
I love that. And I try to make sure that it's very diverse.
Yeah.
So another thing with the books is at the end, Anya gets a souvenir from that country.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
So I source the souvenirs from the actual country. I find women who own small businesses and make things, and I buy from them. And then I sell that as an option, or sometimes it's like if you buy the set, you get it or whatever until supplies run out. And then I direct you directly to that person if you want anything else. So I'm just trying to, like, you know, connect the dots and really, because I could have gone like on Amazon and got some souvenirs, but I'm like, I really want to make sure that if I'm using this country, I'm giving back, number one. I'm writing about this country. I want the people there, even if it's just one person, because I'm small, obviously, but to benefit from it. And then I give books away to the libraries in those countries as well to make sure that they're available there. And I'm working on getting it translated. Right now, I've only had it translated in French, the series, but I'm working on getting some additional languages.
That is so awesome, all of that. I hadn't realized that's all the work that you put into it. That's makes it so special.
It was a lot. It was a lot. And that's what I, people always ask me, you know, they love to say, when's the next one? I'm like, do you know what I have to do to put out another one? Like, it's coming, I promise.
But so how long does it take you to, like, from start to finish to do one book?
From start to finish, I can write a book probably after, well, including all the research, it'll take me about a month to get it together, talk to people, do the research, write it. Now that I kind of have a flow going and I know how to write the books, it's a little easier. In the beginning, I was like winging it. And, you know, you try to take out words, you edit over and over and over. Then you have your mom read it and she's like, your grammar is not right here. I'm like, Ma, it is. It's fine. Google said it was fine and Word said it was fine. She's like, no, 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 switch these words. So, you know, you go through that process. But then the illustrations can take like 8 to 9 months.
Wow.
Because they're extremely detailed and she does all of it by hand. She doesn't use like digital illustrations.
Wow.
So she's drawing and painting. She uses the computer, obviously, but she uses like one of those sketch pad thingies. She showed me her setup. It's really elaborate. And I was surprised because it was like huge. And I'm like, you have all of that in there? I was like, you need to charge a lot more than you do. And I probably cursed myself by saying that, but she's super talented and she deserves it. So I love her. And she's gotten super busy now because everybody comes to me, who did your books? And then they want her. And I'm like,
you know. Now you have to like not tell people that's your
secret. I know. I want to just scratch her name off the book. No, so people stop calling her. But yeah, I'm happy for her too because she got a ton of business.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Off of that as well. Lots of different authors go to her. But yeah, so I'd say about a year per book to actually get it done. And then you have to set it up, format it, and then you have to publish it. So take a full year to get one out.
I was going to ask you, how does the publishing process work?
Okay.
So it seems like it'd be really complicated.
It is and it isn't. It depends. Like a lot of people, they'll go to, what is it, Kindle or something, or whatever Amazon offers. But what I explain to them when they ask me is that that limits you to selling on their platform. You can't sell other places. They don't provide hardcover books. They just do softcover books. Oh. They kind of box you in, and the cost is crazy. Now, as a self-published author, it is very expensive either way, but I always recommend Ingram. They're the best. They walk me through it. Their customer service is amazing. And I went in knowing nothing, and I know so much now. And they distribute worldwide. So that's helpful. And also, like school libraries and regular libraries, that's who they get their books from. So if you want to get the most exposure and you want to get help through the process and make sure that you're having all the different book formatting options, then I always send people to Ingram Spark for that. But it's definitely not easy, especially the setup. The setup is extremely difficult, setting up the book, because there's so many things that you have to say, and you have to stay in the margins. You have to, you know, your illustrations have to be a certain size and a certain DPI. And it's just, it's complicated, but it's fun. And once you get your system down, you just repeat it and then it gets easier.
Do they have like a template that you can use to help out, or is it just all like they just give you like a list of guidelines and you
gotta? That's exactly what it is. It's a long list with a lot of words that mean nothing to you if you've never done it before. It means absolutely nothing. And you can pay people to do this, like do that part of it for you. But even like adding text to the book is difficult because you have to have a certain shading setting and for it to show against the illustrations once they print it. So it'll look good on your computer and it'll look terrible when you print it.
Wow.
And I had that problem my first run. Everything was too dark. You couldn't, like, it was terrible. And I'm like, I cried.
Yeah, I would too.
I was like, no, this is so wrong. And I didn't know what to do. And I called Ingram and this nice woman walked me through it. She's like, listen, when you print the books, you have to set it this much lighter than you would. Yeah, because when the ink goes on the pages, it changes everything. And so now I have the hang of it, but no, definitely trial and error. Definitely spent a whole lot of money.
I was going to say, it's expensive errors, right? When you're doing stuff like that.
Very, very expensive overhead. And I always tell people that too, because everybody wants to write children's books.
Well, it seems so easy, right?
No, it's expensive and the money is slow because, you know, they distribute worldwide. So you'll get your money from different places at different times. And of course, the printing cost comes out of your pricing. And then if you sell yourself, like how I have some inventory at home, you have to have the cash up front to order that inventory because they have minimums. You have to have all of that inventory in your home. You have to have somewhere to store it.
Yeah.
You have to ship it. You have to do all that yourself. So it's, you know,
to catch 22 on either side. But so it's rewarding.
Is it like when somebody orders, let's say, from another country, then the printing company will then print it and then send it to them? Or is it already like printed and in their warehouse?
It depends on what deal they have with that particular. So there's an Amazon almost in every country.
Okay.
So Amazon is one of the places. That's why I said people go directly to Amazon. But if you go to Ingram, you'll get Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and any other major book retailer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So they send your files to them and they print the books, or they send the printed book to those stores and they store them. It just depends. Like, I'm in physical stores in certain cities, but not in all for Barnes & Noble. And I don't know how they decide that. I think people have to request it, or they base it on demographic. I don't know. But I know I'm in like 5 Barnes & Nobles in New York and 3 in California. And I'm like, how come I'm not in Texas? Like, I live here.
I need to start, like, everybody that's listening, just go, like, request on
Your
World Adventures
at
Barnes & Noble.
At your library, at your Barnes & Noble, in your school.
I feel like it needs to be in every school, because how cool is this concept, you know?
That's what I thought in the beginning. I thought this could be for schools. I really wanted to gear it towards, like, education. Mm-hmm. But my sister's an educator, and she was like, well, you know, if you do that, for it to be in each school's curriculum, they'll have different requirements for each book.
Makes sense.
And so you'll have to make a version that has, like, different stuff in it. And I'm like, I don't want to do all that. But maybe one day, or maybe one day a school will come to me and say, hey, we'll pay for this edition, the school edition, because they require you to have, like, a dictionary and all this other stuff in the book.
In the back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if it becomes a part of the curriculum in that way. But it can be in their school libraries for sure. And I have worksheets and activity sheets and coloring pages on the website for kids, especially during, like, this at-home learning time. So just stuff to print out. And I also send those to schools if they ask, because I know that they don't necessarily feel like printing it, the teachers or whatever. So I'll do it, and I'll mail it with, like, some activities and things for the kids. But I'm really trying really hard to expand the brand, but keep it focus. Like, I keep going back and forth about, like, a YouTube channel, but I'm like, I wrote the books because I don't want kids looking at YouTube all day.
Yeah.
But then you're like, but that's such a great way to reach more kids. So I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
I'm torn.
And it's stressful, I think, too. It's just so much social media.
Yes.
Everywhere. And it's like, if you feel like if you don't do it, you're doing yourself a disservice, because it's free advertisement.
Exactly.
But then, like you said, you know, you want kids off of YouTube, because it really, my kid every day, mommy, can I watch Red Button? She calls it Red Button. Can I watch Red Button? I'm like, no, man. Or she'll, and then she'll try to, she's at the age where she negotiates now. She's like, how about just like 10 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I said no.
To get that balance. And I really wanted that with Anya. I wanted her to do more reading. So I do author readings on the YouTube channel, but I don't do anything else. Like, I considered an animated series. I'm like, no, stick to the books. Like, I'm just trying to stay on goal.
Yeah.
And I believe it'll spread. I think when more people know about it, then it'll do its own, like, marketing. But I just don't know. It's so hard in books. If you can't afford, like, an agent.
Yeah.
If you can't afford to pay to be on Oprah's Favorite Things or whatever, you know, you kind of just, you have to wait. But I think the time will come, because I believe in the idea. I've had a ton of ideas. I'm a serial entrepreneur, like, since I was 15. Had a ton of ideas, but none that I felt deserved this type of energy or attention. So definitely going to stick with it.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a great idea. And I mean, I think, like you said, as long as somehow we just got to get the word out. Because then when, I mean, I'm a parent and I saw that idea and, you know, just the ideas and the storyline and all that. And I was like, wow, that's, I want my kid to read that. And I immediately ordered all the books because I think it's so cool. Like, I can't wait to read it to her this evening. You know, every night we read a story. And I know most parents do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's so fun to open your kids' eyes up to the diversity.
Yes.
And, like, for people that can't travel, you know?
That's exactly
it's like
what I was
she gets to
say.
Travel and use her imagination.
That's why it was important for me for her to have a magic globe and not be getting on an airplane with her family, because I wanted it to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Anya's going these places with her imagination. So that, because not everybody can, and not everybody will, and I probably will never get to go to India because my flight limit is like 4 hours.
I'm the same girl.
So
I don't like to travel. I'm like, I just don't like being on a plane that long.
I can't do it. So there's certain places I'll never get to see because I just won't fly there. But also, I want kids, okay, your parents won't take you, but maybe this can be a goal for you in the future. Maybe you'll be more willing to go to these places because now you see that they're not scary. They're not, because, you know, we get really weird depictions living in this country of other countries.
Yeah.
It's a really filtered view And sometimes the filter is terrible. Sometimes it's great. But when you go there and you're there and you're like, this is the best feeling ever. Why did they say, mm-hmm. you know, this was like this? Or, you know, one place I really want to take on is the Middle East.
Yeah.
But I'm nervous because I'm like, I don't want to do it wrong.
Yeah.
So I worked at a company where majority of my coworkers were from different countries in the Middle East. And they all had votes on which country I should choose. They're like, no, do mine. I'm like, I don't know. I have to choose. I'm trying to hit one country in each continent and then go back around. Yeah. So whichever one I pick, it has to be the one that's going to be there for like a few years. So I don't know. But that is even hard because I know people just have really weird views about the Middle East. And so you don't want to offend. And you just have to be really careful. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful. But I just want to shine a different light on it. That's important for me. Because everybody I've ever met from there is awesome. And I'm Same. Like, you know, I love your culture. I love your food. Mm-hmm. How do I share that with children
yeah.
who may not understand that or may have already been told other things? So that's really always my goal with yeah. that. And so, yeah, I just want kids to feel like they can go too. Just broaden their horizons and feel like, you know, I can go here. I can make friends here. And when you meet people even that come from those countries and you're in class with them, mm-hmm. you can bridge a gap because now you know a little bit about their country. Yeah. You know a little bit about their food. Somebody said the other day, you know, a lot of African meals are eaten with your hands. And you'll hear people here say, oh, I could never do that. But then they eat chicken wings with their hands.
Yeah.
And like they don't realize the similarities. Sometimes you have to point it out like, hey, you know, that's exactly what we do, except we do it with French fries. Same yeah. hands. They don't that's think about funny. That. So you want kids to know, like, you know, you're different, but yeah. you have a ton of similarities. And the things that are different, you can share with each other.
And when they're so young, it's like they're so open to everything. Because, yes. like, you know, they always say kids don't see color. And truly, my that's child doesn't. Because yeah. when we go to the store, she picks a black Barbie, a blonde Barbie, a mm-hmm. fat Barbie, a skinny Barbie. She doesn't care. She just yes. picks whichever is beautiful to her. Mm-hmm. And she tells me that. She's like, oh, I picked this one because it's pretty.
Yeah, we teach them that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like, race is taught. It's not yeah. even a real thing if you yeah. think about it. Like, what is that? You're breaking people down based on color, which mm-hmm. is a little weird, especially because in certain races, the same colors can be found.
Exactly.
So it's a little weird for me. It's just, that's why these books were so important because there's a lot of barriers I wanted to break down.
Yeah.
And I never, like, of course, the main character, she's black because my daughter is. But everybody she meets, you know, I just try to stay really true to who that person is and what they're supposed to look like. But I always tell the illustrator, like, hey, when we go to India, I want you to represent all the different shades that are in India. So yeah. in the book, even if they're in the background,
yeah.
there's going to be somebody who's fairer. There's going to be someone who's darker, and they need to be represented because that's how that country is.
Yeah.
Same thing in Jamaica. Like, there's Chinese people in Jamaica. There's, you know, Indian people in Jamaica. There's white people in Jamaica. I said, I need them in the book because that's I awesome. Need people to understand that. Like, it's not just one tone of anyone, anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just diversity is so important, and I don't think we teach it enough.
Yeah. And I think maybe because we're both minorities.
Yes.
We're more like cognizant of that, and we teach our kids that.
Yes.
I don't know, but I'm married to a white guy, and so I don't know. I need to pick his brain about that. We don't ever really talk about that because we both mm-hmm. accept each other, you know, obviously our cultures and whatnot. But mm-hmm. I mean, I think with Olivia too, all of my friends are so different. Like, I have white friends, black friends, Asian, all colors of the rainbow. So she's so used to it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's her auntie and uncle when they come over, you know? She doesn't think mm-hmm. any different. So
and
that, I just
that's
love
important.
That.
And then we have the homes where you're just not exposed to it as much. And that could be on either end of the spectrum. You could be a white family and everybody around you is white, which is not sometimes not done purposely. It's just where you live.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And then you could also have on the other end, black family who's never been exposed to other races right. or cultures because why? They don't live around them. They're in these neighborhoods where it's just them. Mm-hmm. So just to expose everyone. And I know when I was younger, like in grade school, being that, like, my family's West Indian, but mm-hmm. so I knew about people from Haiti, but people here, yeah. they had no idea, and they had such a weird idea in their head about what people from Haiti were like and yeah. what it's like there. And I just don't want my kid to ever be that way. I want them to always, like, kind of be open-minded. I went out of my way to put her in a school, a daycare that was super diverse.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it was just so important for me, because everywhere I visited, it was like, okay, I live in Allen, so.
Yeah.
It's a little more difficult to find a truly diverse daycare.
So I went out my way. Brookhaven Academy, guys, if you're looking for a place, it was amazing. She learned three languages while she was there.
Wow.
Yeah, she had teachers who wore, you know, the hijab, and she had Chinese teachers. She had Korean teachers. She had, I don't think she had a black teacher. She might have had one that worked there, but not in class. But that's okay. You know, they were kind and they were loving. And I heard the director one day, he said there was a family that came. I was just eavesdropping. He wasn't talking to me. But the mother didn't like that one of the teachers was, I think, Spanish or something.
Really?
Something like that. Or maybe she was questioning someone's background. And he said, well, I don't think this is the school for you.
Yeah.
And he turned them away. He said, I don't need their money. He said, that's not what this place is here for. Like, we want inclusivity and we want everybody to be, like, open-minded. Even if you don't come in, you know, aware, you should be open to learning and then leave feeling a little bit better. So that was important. It's just, you know, it's our responsibility that our kids don't grow up to suck.
Like, yeah, I agree. I agree. And that, I mean, that's the same kind of difficult decisions Matt and I make too, just because Olivia is half and half. So it's like, does she, you know, she's going to have the problem of, do I fit in? I'm not Asian enough. I'm not white enough. Mm-hmm. And so trying to pick a school is always a little stressful. And, you know, I'm like super type A. I have to have everything perfect. So it's been a struggle for us, but.
She'll get it. And, you know, I tried to explain to someone. I was actually my younger cousin the other day because he was having similar identity issues because he's West Indian, but he's born in America. And I'm like, well, you know, there's three different things. There's nationality, there's race, and there's ethnicity. Mm-hmm. Ethnicity involves your culture. You can share culture with both your mom's side and your dad's side equally. That's something nobody can take from you. You can take it anywhere you want to go. Nationality can be taken from you. You can buy a new one. You can move out of the country. You can take citizenship elsewhere. That's literally just where you are, where you reside, right? And then your race is something that was put on you. Like, that's not a thing. So I think if she wants to, you know, keep her Asian culture and then, you know, her dad's culture, she'll be able to balance it as long as she feels that way. Because other people are going to try to tell you that you can't have both.
Yeah.
But she can totally have both. You can
I think so too. You know, and me too, growing up, I'm 100% Korean, but I was born and raised in America. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I've been really lucky. I haven't really been through like really bad racist, you know, experiences. And I've always felt like I've had a diverse group of friends. Like actually growing up in Colorado in high school, it was always like, oh, what Koreans do you hang out with? And I was like, I moved, moved there from California. And I was like, oh gosh, I just hang out with everybody. Like, I was an IB nerd, and so I just hung out with all of my smart friends. And I was like, I didn't care what nationality they were, right? And so I never had been that type of person that's like, oh, I only want to hang out with people of my culture. I mean, and I'm fluent in Korean, and I know all of that, but that doesn't mean I can't have friends of every background.
Being from California, though, that's it. See, I'm from New York. We have a totally different experience. Yeah. My kids are growing up in Texas, and so I'm like, I really want you to, like my mom, when she moved here, and you can edit this if I can't say this.
You can say whatever you want.
She moved here, and the first thing she said was, there's no Puerto Ricans. Where are the Puerto Ricans? Like, she's like, where am I going to get my food? She's like, I don't see any. I was like, I know, Ma, like, they're hard to find here. There's not that many. Because in New York, there's just Puerto Ricans, Dominicans everywhere, and you're just used to it. And when you come here, it's not the same amount of diversity.
Yeah.
But
it's getting better for
it's
sure.
It's getting better, yeah. Well, Dallas. You gotta stay in the cities. You stay in the cities and you can find it. Like with my husband, meeting Jamaicans is like one in a million. I think we have like five friends here that are Jamaican.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but like when we find them, it's because they're like, hey, I see you. And they're like, I see you too. And then you have to be friends now, like, or your family now. So yeah. It just is what it is. But it is definitely changing. Dallas is growing really quickly. And so it's a good time for everybody to buy my book.
Exactly.
And learn about the different cultures that are on their way because they're coming. And I don't know. It's just, it's all very hard. I don't know how we ended up talking about like the world. But, you should definitely translate the books for me into Korean.
Yeah, I was going to say your next adventure needs to be South Korea. I'll tell you all about
that. I will do that.
And I mean, I have the traditional clothes at my house from when I was a baby. So
you've chosen the next book.
I have. I'm going to help you. I've volunteered.
And your daughter can be in the book.
Yeah.
Yes, because Anya meets friends in every country that she goes to. So I'm actually going to open it up eventually where people can like
enter to have their kid be the person she meets. Oh, that would be
so cool.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to bring people in and make it interactive.
Yeah.
And also, again, to get that firsthand experience. So if that's where you're from and your kid wants to be in the book, then we'll get together and we'll work on it. So we can do that. That's actually a good thing.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so exciting.
And that's somewhere I want to go, too.
It's fun. I mean, the food, the people, the culture, all of that.
But the flight time. I know, how long is the flight?
It's like 16 hours.
Oh.
I know. But you can like stop in LA or, you know,
cut that flight in half. That's only taking like 2 hours off.
I know, but still, it's better than nothing, girl. I'm just trying to help you. But so like when you were first starting off though, it was hard, you said, and it was, what made you like not give up? I know you're like a really strong, motivated, self-motivated person, but did you ever get to a point where you were like, I can't do this? Like, what am I doing?
No, because I'm like the anti, like anything somebody tells me I can't do, I have to do it. Even if after I'm done, I give up and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I did it. I showed you. I'm over it. I have to do it. Yeah. So there were people that thought I was taking on too much. My dad, he's like my biggest hater, but he's my biggest motivator. Like everything I bring to him, I'll bring an idea. He's like, oh no, you can't do that. And so I'll do it. And so I should thank him in that sense. It's like, he's always like, no, that's impossible or that's too hard. And then I have to go do it. Like I just have to. And then the other thing was my aunt, she believed in me. And I think I always kind of felt like she didn't, like most of my life. So when I told her about this and she was behind me, I was like, oh my gosh, I must be onto something. Because she's never like been, sorry, Aunt Debbie, I love you. I just, you know, childhood baggage. No, I always just felt like, you know, my family thought I was crazy with a lot of things I took on. Because, you know, I was super smart in school, like gifted, talented, all these, the teachers used to rave about me. And then I graduated, I was like, I'm going to fashion school. Like, and they were like, what? I'm like, yeah, I think I'm going to FIT. Like, and I got in and nobody was super excited about me getting in. I was, my teacher was, because she's like, yo, it's so hard to get in there. Great job. And my family was like, okay, go ahead, I guess.
They're like, wait, you're not going to be a doctor?
Right. Or something better than this. You're not going to go to Harvard. You don't, no, I'm going to FIT. And then when I was in FIT, I had a teacher who told me, well, told the class, hey guys, guess what? Like three of you are going to get to work in your dream career and the rest of you are going to have to find something else to do. So I started finding other things to do because he said that. And I also kind of felt like if you're a creator or creative, going to school for a creative thing kind of takes away from your creativity because they mold you in a way. And so I got out of that as soon as I could. And I just found something, like I work in the medical field when I'm not doing things I love. And I found something that was I'm good at and, you know, I can use all my skills for. But what I love to do is just create things and write books and paint and design. That's really my world that I want to live in. So I'm hopefully by 35, I can do that forever and like let that be my thing.
I love how real you are, though.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know how to be any other way. I've tried other ways, but it doesn't stick. And I also, I can only talk, like, I'm talking to you because I adore you. Like, you're one of the realest and my favorite people I've met since I've been here.
I feel the same about you. I'm like, we're basically twins, I feel like. Personality twins.
For sure. So that's why I'm able to sit here with you. Because, like, I wouldn't have agreed to it if I wasn't comfortable because I can't pretend or talk to people when I can't be myself.
I'm the same.
Yeah.
I'm like, it gets awkward. My husband's always like, yeah, just pretend, you know. No. We got to meet these people. Just pretend you're having... I said, I cannot pretend. If I don't like you, I don't like you.
Right.
And if you cross me and I'm mad at you, I'm done.
You're like, going to see it on my face. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I can't hide it. So this was really... It was perfect. I was telling people, I was like, I don't even feel like I have to rehearse because sometimes I like sit in the mirror and I talk to myself. And I'm like, no, I can talk to Haley.
No, I love this. It's just... And I always tell people, it's like having a conversation. We get to learn about each other and just have fun.
Yes.
But I'm just... When I found out that you did children's books, I was like, oh my gosh, it just makes complete sense to have you on here because I think that's like so cool and unique. And I don't know any other published writer. That's so cool.
Thank you. Well, I am going to start... I started a publishing imprint. So I can bring other writers who want to do diverse books and need help with all the things that we talked about that are so hard. So basically, I won't be like your regular publisher that takes a fee from you and all that. I just want to walk you through the process, help you get set up and get your book published under this particular imprint. So it's FeeWe, it means for us, imprint. And it's basically just going to be diverse and cultural books from all different backgrounds, but anyone who's looking to start a book or
once advice can come to me and I'll walk them through that process. Because I think there needs to be more books that, you know, teach things. And I can't teach everything. I don't know
everything. You can't do it all, girl.
No, I need help. So if anyone's interested or just wanting to send, like, you know, hey, I won't steal your book idea. I've had someone do that to me and I would never. So,
oh, gosh.
Yes,
girl. God, people are so awful.
Listen, I went into my little fake legal bag and wrote a really nice letter to all the places that were carrying the book. Because, like, even down to taking my illustrator. And my illustrator, English is her second language. And she, this person was not in the U.S. She's a military spouse, right? So my illustrator didn't think that it would be a conflict of interest on our contract because she's not in the U.S.
Yeah.
But she was distributing in the U.S.
Wow.
So, yeah, it got messy.
Wow.
So, and it got even messier because, like, she was a cousin to one of my best friends. I'm like, oh, that's how you got this information. Yeah, it got real weird.
So did she have to, like, stop?
She did, yeah. Oh, good. No, they're no longer in existence. It was awful. I lost a friend. It was sad. It was crazy. But that is one of the struggles that I would love to help other people with. You don't have to deal with that. Make sure you have your copyrights in order. Make sure that, you know, you trademark your logos and you write good contracts with your illustrators because your illustrators have access to your books, your text, your idea. They have all of your images. You have to make sure you have good agreements with them so that you can use your images for anything. Like, I have the bags now.
Yeah.
If you don't have the right contract, you can't even do that. So those are the things that I'm here to help with my imprint. So I hope that I can get some new titles from new authors and some new ideas coming in the door soon.
Yeah, you're like a wealth of knowledge. So that'd be great to have you as a mentor.
All through mistakes.
Yeah, but that's the best way to learn. Yes. I feel like once you make that mistake, you know damn well you're not going to make that same mistake again, right? Because of what you've gone through.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, so I'm just help other people navigate, you know, use my mistakes as the blueprint and don't do them. Just skip over that part.
Yeah.
Because it's rough. It's hard, but it's very rewarding. Every time I get one of my books, like even when like I get a new shipment, I cry. I'm like, oh, these are so beautiful.
Seriously, I was going to ask you, like, how did it feel like when your first order went out? Or were you just
cried. I sat in my car and cried. And I don't cry because I'm a thug. I cried.
I'm the same.
I cried.
I love it.
I was bawling. I was like, I can't believe it. I called my mom. She cried. We all cried.
Do you remember where like it went? Where they ordered from?
Probably my mom. Oh. Most likely my mom.
That is
so
cool.
She ordered for like all her friends. Aww. That was like her first thing. But my first like official order, I don't remember who it was from. I can't lie and say I do. That was like 2014.
Wow.
So, yeah, a lot of things have happened to me since then. So yeah. My memory shot.
I'm going to have to start like ordering the set and like giving them out to everybody. Because now everyone at my age has like kids that are starting to read. So,
you know, when I wrote it, I told my friends, like, I know you guys have kids.
You better buy them.
Everybody has kids now. Stop playing around. So for sure.
Well, if you could give one piece of business advice to anybody that wants to start their own business, then what would it be?
Well, I always tell people because, sidebar, I also do small business consultation. And when people come to me with ideas, I say, the first thing you need to do is tell someone else about it because that puts the pressure on you. Mm-hmm. And if you tell someone you're about to do something, tell someone who's going to hold you accountable, obviously. But if you tell them, then you're going to do it. You're more likely to do it. The second thing I tell them is get a website because once you have your website, you're paying for that. Now you're invested. So you're more likely to move forward. And then you can flesh out your idea. Like you put it on your website, you look at it. Does this look like something someone would buy? Why would they buy it? When you're building the website, you have to ask yourself questions like, what makes me unique? You know, it helps you write your business plan. I know some people say write your business plan first, but that's impossible. You cannot write a business plan before you actually get in motion because you don't know anything before you start. Like you can pretend to know stuff, but you don't really know. You don't know what things are going to cost you. You don't know. I think it's really weird to tell people to make a business plan first because your business plan is never what happens to you.
Exactly.
Never what really happens.
That's like in nursing. They're like, you learn in nursing school to do like a care plan for each patient. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you get into the real world and you're like, nobody does that.
Yeah. How can I plan ahead for something like this? And just treat your business like it's your kid. Like you have to grow it. You have to nurture it, obviously. But kids are also like, they don't come with rule books.
and they don't come with instructions. And one day your kid might need this more than it needs this. And your business is the same way. Sometimes my business needs me to be more active on social media. Sometimes it needs me to focus on the creative part. Sometimes I need to focus more on showing up and talking to people. Like I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. I meet people all the time and you know, I never tell them what I do.
You ever. Need to.
I know. That's what people say, but I'm also like really awkward socially. So that holds me back. And I need someone like, I told my mom, I was like, when I get money, I guess I'll hire someone who can go around and do that part for me. Cause I'm the worst. Even at the farmer's market, like I want to set up there, but it's too much social interaction for me.
Girl,
I
would fold. I'll come with you.
Appreciate that. I will fold under all that pressure. Everybody coming up to you and, what do you do? And I'm like, don't talk to me.
Listen, you have a little margarita or a mimosa that morning and then you stand out there.
Drunk at the farmer's market. Buzz, I like
not
it.
Drunk, but okay. Buzz a little. You know, you get a little chatty when you have a little liquid courage in you.
That might help. But yeah, if I could just market myself a little bit better. But yes, my advice to them would definitely just be, first, tell someone who can hold you accountable. And second, buy your domain name and start your website, because that will keep you focused. And the good thing about a domain is you can get your first one and you can just create multiple emails so it can keep being your first one for $1. Wow. So you only have to invest $1 to get started. And that way, if you hate it by the end of the year, it's just $1 and you didn't lose anything. So, and that's on GoDaddy. That's not an ad, but just
you know. You just use it.
Yeah.
Well, and another question I like to ask everybody that comes on is, what do you think is the most iconic business in Dallas?
Can I do two?
Of course.
Okay. All right. So first, I will say Bam's Vegan. That is my favorite thing about Texas. Like, there's been multiple times where I was like, I don't want to live here anymore. I don't want to live here anymore. And then I met Bam and found about Bam's Vegan at the farmer's market. Now he has a storefront in Irving. Mm-hmm. Best vegan food I've ever had in my entire life. Ooh. Everyone who says, ill, you're vegan, I'm like, ill, you've never had Bam's Vegan. That's my retort. Cause like, it's amazing.
I'm gonna have to try.
You have to try it. They're open today. it's so good. And what he stands for is just also amazing. The things he does for the community. So that's why I would say he's an iconic business, not just cause the food is good, but he gives back so much. And he's very kind. And, you know, he's super busy. You know, as a business owner, you're always busy and people always want to talk to you while you're working and ask you things. And he's always making time for everyone. And he's just very kind. So, and the food is the bomb. So, yes, that would be one. And then two would be my realtor, Haley, and iconic realty. And that's because we went through hell in the home buying process.
Oh, we did.
During COVID, we had a seller that just ghosted us.
Yeah.
And gave us all types of problems. And Haley, you know, she was on it. Like, I didn't have to hit you up about anything. You were hitting me up. Like, hey, you know, we're on top of this. We're doing this. We're doing that. And I just felt so sure through the whole thing. I wasn't worried at all. And even when that first thing fell through, the way that you handled, like, the transition and switching to the next one. So I'd have to give that to you. And I tell everyone.
Thank you so much.
That, like, my realtor's the bomb. Like, anybody who's looking for a house, I'm like, oh, I got you. And I just send them your information. So I'm sure.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no. So those are my two. And that wasn't just because I'm here or because it's called Iconic Realty. I really mean it.
Thank you so much. And lastly, pimp yourself out. Let us know, like, where can we find your book? Where can we get more information about Anya's World of Ventures?
Okay. So, as I said, Ingram distributes worldwide. So, I'm in all major book retailers. I think you can get it on Target's website as well, Walmart's website. I've even seen it on Half Price Books. I Google myself a lot. but if you want to support me directly, it's awabookseries.com. And that stands for Anya's World Adventures, bookseries.com. And go to the bookstore there. That supports me directly. I see the most money from it. You'll help me pay for my next book because illustrations are expensive. And I'm also on Instagram, Anya's World Adventures. I'm on Twitter, AWA Book Series. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. And my name is Nico, and you can find my personal Twitter too, but don't be super offended, but I post a lot of stuff there. And if you wanted to reach out to me about publishing a book or anything like that, that would be where you'd get me.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I had so much fun getting to know you, and I cannot wait to get these books to Olivia today.
Yay. Thanks. Okay. Thank you, Haley.
If you'd like more information or would like to order, visit www.awabookseries.com.
You can also find Nico on Facebook and Instagram. Just search Anya's World Adventures. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Iconic Business Podcast, or visit www.iconicres.com/podcast to listen. Comment, like, and share so I know you're listening. And thank you so much for all of your support. This episode was recorded in Dallas, Texas at Iconic Real Estate and edited by Sean Chapman.